This is the Quality News Network. The deadliest U.S. wildfire in 5 years continues to burn out of control this morning near Palm Springs, California. The arson-caused blaze, which started yesterday, has already burned 24,000 acres and killed 4 firefighters. A 5th remains in critical condition. So far, a 6 homes have been destroyed and hundreds of residents have been evacuated. A new poll, this one from Associated Press, shows that 56% of those surveyed say they'll vote to send a Democrat to Congress, while 37% say they prefer a Republican. That's a 19% difference, up from 10% earlier this month. A vehicle ban now in place in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul after 12 bodies, including those of 4 police officers, were discovered there during the past 24 hours. And in north of Baghdad, 28 police had died yesterday, victims of an ambush by armed rebels. U.S. forces in Iraq are continuing their search for a missing American soldier of Iraqi descent who disappeared on Monday while he was visiting relatives in Baghdad. It's believed he was kidnapped. That search is now being conducted in Sadr City, a Baghdad district which houses a number of Shiite militia. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is downplaying the importance of benchmarks in Iraq, saying that it remains extremely difficult to predict when Iraqis will be able to take over control of their own country. He says while benchmarks are valuable, no one can predict the future with absolute certainty. In Afghanistan, the Taliban is accusing NATO forces of genocide after NATO bombing raids earlier this week reportedly killed as many as 80 civilians, mostly women and children, in Kandahar province. Today, another 14 civilians died from a roadside bomb. At the United Nations, it's beginning to look as if the Dominican Republic may be elected to fill the vacant seat on the Security Council, which is earmarked for a Latin American country. After 41 ballots by the General Assembly, neither Guatemala nor Venezuela has been able to achieve the necessary two-thirds majority of votes. So now the Dominican Republic is being mentioned as a compromise candidate. Bolivia, Costa Rica, Uruguay, and Chile have also expressed interest in being considered. The commissioner of the IRS is ordering the agency to delay collecting back taxes from victims of Hurricane Katrina until after the holiday season, and he admits that he's doing so to avoid negative publicity. Iran has reportedly resumed its uranium enrichment program despite threats of U.N. sanctions. And investigators in California now say that the E. coli bacteria which contaminated the spinach field there in August may have come from wild pigs that live in the area. The nationwide E. coli outbreak caused the deaths of 3 people and sickened more than several hundred across the country. You're listening to the Quality News Network. It's now 2:30 past the hour. Science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Spanish scientists have discovered that a fungal skin disease responsible for wiping out certain toad and frog species in Australia and South America is related to global warming. Harvard researchers say that their review of 15 different studies shows that coffee drinking can protect people from type 2 diabetes. The U.S. economy is slowing down. The Commerce Department reporting today that the gross domestic product, which is the broadest measure of the economy, grew at only 1.6% last quarter. That's down a full percentage point from the spring. Microsoft has posted an 11% increase in quarterly earnings, $3.5 billion on revenues of nearly $11 billion. Volkswagen's quarterly profits are down 92%, largely due to restructuring. Europe's largest automaker has eliminated 20,000 jobs in Germany and made agreements with 16,000 other employees for early retirements or contract buyouts. Fortune Brands, the U.S. marketing giant that handles everything from Moen faucets to Jim Beam bourbon, posted a 64% jump in quarterly profits. And Hertz Car Rental Firm is announcing that it will offer 88 million shares of common stock in an initial public offering. Shares expected to bring $16 to $18. Gold is trading at $598.80 an ounce at this hour. Light sweet crude down a quarter at $60.11 a barrel. And all the markets are down on Wall Street. The Dow is off 33 points at 12,131. NASDAQ is down 7 at 2372, and the S&P 500 down 5 at 1383. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Hi, thank you, Bob. Welcome back to another episode of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. My name is Joe, and I am here to help you. I am here to help you understand what it means to stand up for yourself so that you can have a better life for yourself and your kids and your grandkids, and to let you know that your employers are ripping you off. How you all doing? It is Friday here in Chicago. It's a cold, wet, rainy day here, just like it was yesterday. And I've noticed that the weather does tend to change very quickly here in Chicago. Maybe that's because of the lake. I don't know. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Vecchio. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and I've recently moved up here to Chicago. And I've lived all over the world, all over the country, and I've seen a lot of things, and I like to talk about a lot of things. And when I say I'm the voice of the working man, doggone it, I am the voice of the working man. Because I actually do have a regular job. In fact, I need to leave for work right after I finish this show. And I've been doing that all this week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I've been filling in for the wonderful, great Dr. Bill here on the Head On Radio Network. And Dr. Bill is filling in for Bruce Birch, who is doing some personal issues that he's got to take care of. And so I've been filling in for Dr. Bill. And Dr. Bill's got a great show, and I hope you listen in. But Mondays and Fridays are my normal time slot, so you're listening to me exactly when you should be listening to me. But I want to say hi to everybody. First of all, let me say hi to everybody in the Head On Radio Network chat room. Just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the chat room link, and you will get to talk there with some of the most intelligent people on the internets. Because that's where they all hang out. They're all here on the head-on chat room, and they've got some wonderful people here. And hopefully we'll get a call from our friend Sarge, who is doing reports from the Gulf Coast of Mississippi showing the results of Bush administration failed policies of the Bush administration. The Mississippians, at any rate, were generally hardcore Republicans, and they're getting screwed just as bad as the chocolates out in New Orleans, if you know what I'm talking about. And what's going on down there, both in New Orleans and in Louisiana and in Mississippi, is just a huge land grab. And as Sarge reported the other day, plenty of money for building the casinos, plenty of money for the Hard Rock Cafe, but no money and no time for hospitals. Instead, you get a little trailer. Why don't you take the casino and put that in the trailer and take the casino building, throw out all the crap in there that's basically just stealing people's money. Whether they do it voluntarily or not, it's still thievery. Why anybody thinks they're going to be successful against a company that just built a $100 million new building from the gambling receipts from all these people is going to get rich is beyond me. But they ought to take these buildings, throw out all the crap, throw out all the roulette wheels, and all the little the 21 tables, throw them all out, and put hospital beds in there, put hospital equipment, turn them into hospitals. Just like, you know, George Carlin, one of my favorite comedians, always talked about golf courses, and he talked about how golf courses, which are basically just where rich people go to do business while playing on the golf course. He said they are the worst wastes of land resources in this country, those in churches. He said they ought to tear down every church and every golf course in the country and put up low-income housing. And I agree with him. Yes, it's radical as hell, but you know what? I'm radical as hell, dag nabbit. I'm a pesky, ornery old coot. And hey, if you do want to talk to me, you can give me a call at 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4 Head On, and I always welcome even opposing points of view, so long as you're intelligent. If you come on this show and you start spouting Republican talking points, I will cut you off so fast your head will spin. Do you understand that? This is conversation radio, not confrontation radio. However, I will not put up with any BS. I got a baseball bat right in my room, and I am waiting for anarchy to come. And that baseball bat has several names on it already. Not that I've used it, meaning it's waiting for people. And I am perfectly willing, if the situation requires it, and it doesn't require it just yet, and I'm not necessarily advocating it, I think it's a last resort. But if the situation requires it, I am right there. Because as I've pointed out so many times before, all the things that we take for granted as working people, the 40-hour work week, overtime laws, all the things that are slowly being taken away by the corporatists who run the Bush administration or with whom the Bush administration are allies. Whoever's in charge, it doesn't really make a difference. We're all getting screwed. But all those things that we take for granted now happened in great part because when push came to shove, people took to the streets. And you know, they mostly did that in the Northeast. What a surprise. And for people who've listened to me long enough, you know I rag on the Southerners, and I rag on them for good reason. And unlike a lot of people, I've actually lived there. I've lived there for a very, very long time. And nothing would infuriate me more, because I grew up, like I said, I grew up in Brooklyn. Nothing would infuriate me more than a Southerner who apparently knew everything there is to know about New York City, despite the fact that they'd never set foot in the joint. Now you tell me. Now, granted, there's a lot of northern people who feel the same way about southerners. Trust me, I know. And I try to educate them as much as possible. But it's not the people in the Northeast that are running the country into the ground right now. In fact, the people in the Northeast, if it wasn't for them, much of the South wouldn't have electricity. And all these southerners bitching and moaning about government interference. If it wasn't for government interference, y'all couldn't be listening to the radio. Because you wouldn't have electricity for the most part. Not in them country areas. Maybe in the cities. And, you know, and of course, as always, the cities are where the enclaves of liberal thought are. There are very few highly conservative cities. Maybe Salt Lake City because of all the Mormons there. And maybe a few in Texas, but for the most part, when you have large members of population, they tend to be more progressive. Why? Because they have to live with people on a regular daily basis. And that's the truth. But the difference between the northern workers and the southern workers are when push came to shove, the northern workers, who were for the most part immigrants, who had been used to a little political agitation in Europe, and who brought it here, in that sense, they stood up for themselves, and they made a better life for themselves. And those benefits got passed on later on to the southern states, as much as they wanted to deny it. And then the southern states took great pains and took great pleasure, that's the word I was looking for, took great pleasure in taking businesses away from the north, with entices of lower taxes and lower regulations and less pay for workers. And now they're all losing them jobs to other places, right? Anyway, like I said, give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We're coming up on our Beatles break here. And I'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. See you in a few.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
Head on Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? Paid for by the Republican National Committee. Ken Melman, Grand Cleagle.
Harold Ford, don't share our Tennessee conservative family values.
Eustace, get that sheet off of your head and come in here right now, little mister.
Be here in a minute, Uncle Daddy. Harold Ford's gonna get our women's. Hey, where are the white women at?
Here, come.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Bob Corker for Senate. It's an 18th century thing. You wouldn't understand.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right. We're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working. Oh, my God, that was so funny. Hang on while I whip this out. And you know, the sad thing is that that ad is not that big of an exaggeration. That was an ad that was produced by, you know, the Republican National Committee. Not that parody ad, but the actual ad that's referring to was an ad that was produced by the Republican National Committee talking about Harold Ford, who was running for office down in Tennessee. And Mr. Ford is a gentleman of color, and whenever they have him talking about him in the background, you hear these jungle drums. And it's so utterly racist. It's so utterly and totally racist. But then again, what do you expect from the Republican Party? Because that's, you know, that's their core. Some people call you this, I call you my base. And you know, with the polls going the way they are, the Republicans are pulling out all stops. You know, I really like listening to the PSAs, the public service announcements that we have on a Head On Network. And the one that I really want to point out to you is the one for thefairwage.org. Go there and vote for that. And because really, you know, I don't need to sit here and give out statistics, okay? I mean, the pointy heads on the conservative side will sit there and tell you statistics about how everything's going great. They'll point at the stock market. You know what it's all about. You're out there working every day, busting your butt to try to make a living. Do you have every knowledge of what's going on? I don't need to sit here and tell you statistics that as far as working people are concerned, life sucks. It sucks for everybody who is not a corporate executive, because corporate executives can get away with anything. Yeah, we know Jeffrey Skilling just got 24 years. I wonder if he's going to die just before he goes to jail, just like Ken Lay. And is Ken Lay really even dead? Does that sound like a conspiracy theory? I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him. But Ken Lay died, and guess what? His family doesn't have to pay back all the money he stole. Speaking of stealing, let's go down to back to the Gulf Coast of Mississippi with my good friend Sarge, and he can tell us how the Bush administration has stolen the lives of the people down there. Hi, Sarge.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
How you doing, Sarge? I missed you yesterday.
I'm sorry?
I missed you yesterday.
Well, I was taking a siesta.
you deserve it. You've been really working hard down there.
Not hard enough, Joe, because there's still too much to do.
More than one person can handle, so don't get down on yourself.
I just got a call from Pascagoula, and boy, I couldn't say that, Pascagoula. And there was a grant that was supposed to go to help these children get mental health counseling and everything like that that they didn't get. So there's some more bad news. Money's going out.
Did the money go to the casinos instead?
Probably. He's going to send me more information on it today, and I should have a report later on in the day for it. I also found another person's called me on my 800 number. I have an 800 number I passed out down there.
Well, what's the number? Tell everybody here.
1-800-209-0009, and it's also at the top of unreportednews.net's homepage.
Okay, unreportednews.net, everybody. Go there. It's a great site.
And this woman, I haven't been able to talk to her, but it's pretty much the same old story. She's about to get kicked out of her FEMA trailer, and she doesn't have any place to go, and nobody's trying to do a thing to help her. You know, just your typical average day in Jackson County, Mississippi, thanks to the Bush crime family.
And what was that news report that we heard, that the IRS is intentionally not going to prosecute people for back taxes until after the election?
Yeah.
And they admit that it's for publicity reasons, right?
Yeah. And why not? Why not? You know, I mean, that's what do you expect from these fascists? I mean, what really keeps going through my mind, I was telling Ray Dean, is I called Washington, D.C. and talked to FEMA in Washington, and I asked for some information on these trailers having to be vacated. They referred me to what I thought was a FEMA person in Biloxi. So I called, and it turned up being a Homeland Security. There is no way you get to FEMA without going through Homeland Security.
Police state, man. Like you said, it's a police state.
Yeah, it just really is. And the laundromat that we were at, where we had a little confrontation with the woman, like I've told before, had a audio system set up to where they were recording every word said in that laundromat. And there's no signs anywhere. There's no way anybody knows. Of course, I found out the guy that owns the place is the son of one of the councilmen. And so, therefore, he does whatever he likes to do, and nobody can do a thing about it. Now, tell me the corruption isn't running rampant.
No offense, man, but, you know, the South kind of is known for their corruption. I mean, I should talk because I come from Chicago, right? Or I'm living in Chicago, and Chicago is synonymous with political corruption. But when you get a feel for it down south, it's a completely different animal down there.
Even my own life, I can give you some of the good old boy's story that will just curl your hair. The fact that I was adopted came through the good old boy network. My my dad, my real dad, was, he was wounded twice during World War II. He was in planes that got shot down. And he suffered the rest of his life for it. And he got disability from the VA, which wasn't much back in those days. It's not much now. But they set him up and got him in some trouble on a setup. And they told him, well, we know this couple that wants to adopt your twins. So here's what we'll do. We'll just see these charges get dropped, and you just let those twins go on to these people, and you leave Marion County and stay out of Mississippi. Or
man, oh man.
Take your twins away from you anyway and send them to an orphanage. What? How you want to do it?
Well, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, you know, it's just... words fail me, you know, because you know, it's funny because they just had here in Chicago an historic building just caught fire near the L tracks, and in fact they had to shut down some of the trains because they were afraid of, you know, stuff falling on the tracks. And my roommate was watching and he's just shaking his head, and I'm like, what's wrong? He said, well, they wanted to get rid of that building for a long time, and I guess they found the perfect excuse. And you know, he said it's kind of an underhanded way of going about it, but that's the way we do things here in Chicago. And I just shake in my head, but you know, sometimes that's the way stuff happens.
Yeah.
And it happens all over the country. But like I said, the South just seems to have a monopoly on it. I mean, the good old boy. And look at the Republican leadership. It's almost entirely Southerners. It's certainly all suburbanites, pretty much. I mean,
yeah.
The actual working leaders, not the people like, you know, the Giulianis, who are from the city but who are really more tools for the Republican Party. You know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, one of the things that really glared, I don't know if Ray caught this or not, but what really jumped out at me was, well, the woman that was really just having the roughest time of the two we had that day, and I wish we could have got her on air because her story was just as sad as it could possibly be, and I just wish we could have got her on. But she was not very well educated. I doubt she had more than a high school diploma, if she had that. And she was a widow, and she has cancer, and she has children, and she's been working all her life trying to support her family. She's not taking anything that she certainly doesn't deserve. And she's not getting what she deserves. And yet these people who are taking handouts, like the woman that wouldn't let us back into the laundromat, they're hurting these people, and they're bossing them around, and they're letting them know, don't you step out of line or we'll get you even worse.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of the... Back when I was a kid, we had what was called the Dixie Mafia on the coast, and one of my brothers was killed by them.
It's our charge. Let me hold you off here for a second, because
sure.
What we got to do, I want you to stay on the line, okay? Because I want to continue this conversation because it's important.
All
but
right.
We're coming up on a little break here, and I want to do the break, and then we can get back with you because I want to continue with this, and I hate to cut you off, but we got to pay the bills here, okay? So just. Hang on just for a second. We'll be right back with more on the Cup of Joe radio show.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and let's just get right back to Sarge there, because I really wanted to continue that, and I hated to break it off, but, you know, this is radio, and we have to do that. Are you still there, Sarge?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. You were talking about the Dixie Mafia. Please continue.
Right. I had a brother killed by them. My brother was pretty in and out of prison. You know, he got into some drug deals, and he got involved with the Dixie Mafia, and when he'd sleep in a corner with where he could have his back covered, and even when he came to one of the family's house, that's where he slept, because he knew they were going to get him eventually. And one day a trucker was driving over a bridge and looked out and saw in a tree what looked like a body. They found my brother's body, and he had been shot 19 times and had been stabbed 27 times.
Good Lord.
And then they'd thrown him into the river, and he'd caught up on a limb. And to this day, nobody has ever paid for that one. And you don't ask about it. Now,
that's typical with all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. I tell you something else. I've talked to John Conyers' office this morning, and I've finally gotten connected with the person I need to. And it looks as though John Conyers is going to look into this thing. I sent him my story my report from Tuesday's trip, and the wonderful and magnificent Bob Kincaid is going to be helping me out a little bit here, helping me put some stuff together to send to him from interviews and call-ins that we've had. So Horn will be involved as well, and I'm really appreciative of that.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help you, just let me know. You know, I'll do what I can, considering I'm kind of far away from the whole situation, but I'll do whatever I can to help.
You know what? Right now, the biggest thing that I can see that people can do is, and I apologize, I hadn't put it up yet, but I'm going to have a link put up where people can go and donate money to the Jackson County Children's Coalition. and you might Google it and get it. But they have it set up. I've talked to the director, and they're the ones that did not get the grant that they were needing. So if anybody wants to help the children of Jackson County, this is your opportunity.
And again, that would be on unreportednews.net.
Unreportednews.net. That's right.
Yeah, and
I appreciate everything Horn does. And hey, let's give kudos to Bob and Agnes. I don't know where we'd be without those two. They're just
great, and they work so hard, and they ask for nothing in return. You know,
I know they had us covered Tuesday too, and that made us feel a lot safer knowing that Bob and Agnes were sitting back, and if anyone tried to mess with us, we get on the phone, Bob, help! That was pretty cool. Thank you.
Well, we don't have anything like the Dixie Mafia, but we do our part.
There you go. Thank you, and I'll talk to you later.
Take care, Sarge.
Bye.
Keep on trucking. That was our good friend Sarge down there in the Gulf Coast of Mississippi reporting on the Bush family evil empire's latest project or continuing project to destroy the lives of poor working people in order to enrich a few of their business buddies, which of course is what they're all about. And you know, actually I'd never heard of the Dixie Mafia before, although it kind of makes sense. I just always assumed the KKK was kind of the Dixie Mafia in that sense. Being Sicilian, I always get asked, especially at a different jobs, whether I'm in the Mafia, and my answer is of course always the same. If I was in the Mafia, do you think I'd be working here? I'd be running the joint, or I'd be running a joint that made money. Oh, man. But it's really, you know, and I've talked about how rough I've had it, you know, the last couple of years and all that stuff. And it just amazes me that as bad as things have been for me, I've actually been one of the lucky people in this country. Because throughout all of it, I still had a roof over my head. And while I've gone times where, you know, I had trouble getting food, at least I know I can eat. And the big thing is that I know that for me, things can get better because I have that capability. You know, I still have the skills. I haven't lost my skills. I haven't lost my mindset. I'm backed up in debt, but, you know, no debt is just so extreme that it can't prevent you just from, you know, supporting yourself. And there's a lot of people down there who simply don't have that option, or at least that option is very much more difficult for them than it is for me. And I look at a lot of working people and you know, the types of jobs that they have, and I feel bad because they're getting a bad shake. They're not making enough money to support themselves, and they don't necessarily have the skills or the knowledge or the desire to get themselves into a job that pays more. And you know something? I don't think there's anything wrong with not having the desire to take a job that's a lot more work than they really care to do. Because I think part of working and supporting yourself ought to be that you ought to be able to enjoy yourself and to enjoy the work that you're doing. And while, yeah, manager's position or a supervisor's type position may pay more money, it also comes with a lot more stress and a lot more responsibility than some people will care to take. But my feeling is unchanged. So long as you're, you know, so long as you want to work, so long as you want to do something and get paid for it, you should be able to earn enough to support yourself. And then maybe somewhere down the line, you can do something if you want to improve yourself more. But if you don't, I don't see anything wrong with a guy, you know, being a garbage guy or a street sweeper or something like that. Maybe they don't enjoy it greatly, but maybe it's something that it's not, you know, such a big stress on them that they can just continue to do it until the point where they can just retire and retire in peace and comfort and with the health care that they need. I don't think that's such a big thing to ask. And I don't think that it's such a big thing to force, because sometimes you've got to use force. Sometimes you've got to put a gun to their heads, metaphorically speaking. For those people who society has most benefited, to chip in more. Progressive taxation is not robbing the rich. Progressive taxation is asking those who have benefited the most from society to invest more back into it. Because the end result, if they don't do stuff like that, is a society that they really don't want to live in anyway, regardless of how much money they have. Because in the long run, you cannot completely insulate yourself from the effects of that kind of greed. Sooner or later, you go too far. And if there's one stereotype, there's one true thing about poor people, than about any other kind of stereotype, there's one thing, there's a lot more of them than there are the rich people. And if push comes to shove, bad things happen. When I mentioned yesterday, I was reading a book about the Byzantine Empire. There was at least one emperor who was so bad and so horrible that the mob literally ran into the palace and just killed him, beat him to death. Louis XVI. For those of you who think I'm coddling communist dictators, Nicolae Ceaușescu, if anybody remembers him, back in Romania a few years back. I remember that very clearly, because he was out there giving a speech. They showed the footage, and the crowd just started to boo, and he just froze. He had never had anything like that before. Within 3 days, he was dead, killed by his own guard, he and his wife. Just shot dead. Mussolini was stripped and hung upside down with piano wire by the Italian people. Sic semper tyrannis, thus ever to tyrants. And if the Bush people think they're immune to it, or they're immune from it, just keep going the way they're going. There's an electoral tide coming up. I'm questioning whether it's going to be quite enough yet to dislodge the Republicans from power, because the machine is still there. And despite what Diane and I admire her enthusiasm, but she says don't throw your vote away. My point is your vote is already being thrown away. Your vote is being stolen, and that's the message that I'm trying to get out. And we'll see what happens here in November. And we'll see if the Democrats, by some miracle, manage to take control of both houses of Congress. We'll see if they have the courage to do what needs to be done. And one of the things that needs to be done is to get down there in the Gulf of Mississippi and show people what's going on. And if you have to threaten news networks or television stations to remove their license unless they start reporting the news truthfully, then that's what you do. You know, I saw a thing the other day. I was mentioning it. ABC News was talking about all the mudslinging that's going on, and they were trying so hard to give the impression that it was going on both sides. And the only examples they were given were examples of Republican commercials, like the one that we did a parody of earlier, the Harold Ford one. That's not the only one. There's bunches of them out there that they give free airplay to, and then they turn around and talk about how it's both sides doing it. It's not both sides doing it. And maybe they just think they're being fair and balanced, or maybe they just think that's what passes for news. Well, this person says one thing, and this person says another thing. If they're going out and even looking for stuff that doesn't exist, then there's something wrong with the way news is being covered. And if we retake the House and the Senate, I think we need to go out and really push for them and say, you're going to start doing this right, or we're going to start pulling licenses. Because they operate at the I don't want to say on the government's whim. That's not the right word. But they operate on the government's goodwill. We got another break coming up. Give me a call if you want to talk about this. There's plenty to talk about. 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366 and 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And once again, I welcome everybody listening online to go to the Head-On chat room, which if you go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the chat room button, then you get to go right in there and talk to some of the most intelligent people on the internets. I always make that term, internets. And if you're listening at work, good for you. Slack off. I say this every day, and I'll keep saying it till the message gets in. Slack off. Why kill yourself? The odds are that you're working for a company that's actively trying to rip you off. If you hate your job, quit it. If you work for an evil company, quit. And stop other people from working there. Quit Walmart if you work Walmart. Just quit. Call them up and say, I'm leaving. You can take your crappy, low wages, everyday job and shove it. You'll find something better. If you're a Democrat out there who runs a business or who has money to invest to help people start their own business, because I guarantee you, a lot of you out there are quite capable of running your own small business. You don't have to run a business with the idea of becoming a huge multinational conglomeration that's going to run people's lives. No, you can start your little mom-and-pop store. And I want a government that's going to help people to do that. You know, some years back, I wanted to do a business running conventions. Nothing fancy. I've been running conventions for a little while, and I would like to have made a living.
Delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 250 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at QualityNewsNetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
Another billionaire, one of the developers of Microsoft's Word and Excel programs, will soon be traveling into space. Charles Simonyi expected to pay between $20 and $25 million for a ticket aboard a Russian Soyuz rocket in March. Simonyi, an American citizen, is a native of Hungary. The Commerce Department reports that the nation's gross domestic product, which is the broadest measure of the country's economy, grew at only 1.6% last quarter. That's down from 2.6% between April and June. A new survey shows that nationwide apartment rental prices have increased nearly 4% this past quarter, with vacancy rates dropping to about 5.5%. The highest rents can be found in California and Florida. Chevron has beaten Wall Street expectations with quarterly profits of $5 billion. The company is citing an increase in both gas prices and profit margins. Microsoft's posting an 11% increase in quarterly earnings, about $3.5 billion on revenues of nearly $11 billion. And a big debut for Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, which has launched the world's biggest IPO in both the Hong Kong and Shanghai stock markets. Gold is trading up a nickel this hour at $600.30 an ounce. Silver is trading at $12.12. And light sweet crude down a dime, trading at $60.26 a barrel. All the markets are down on Wall Street this hour. The Dow Jones Industrials are down 24 points at 12,139. NASDAQ is down 4 at 2374. And the S&P 500 down 4 at 1384. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show, the show that asks the all-important question.
Hey, you gonna eat that?
And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury. Here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man, thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob. Man, another hour has gone by. Boy, this show goes quickly. You know, I was talking to my roommate the other day, and he was like, you do 2 hours? You should cut your show back to 1 hour. Because, you know, how can you just talk like that for all this time? And I'm like, dude, I like to talk. You should know that by now. But, no, 2 hours does go by very quickly. I mean, the first hour, I feel like I've almost just started already. And, you know, when... you know, maybe when the time comes or if the schedule changes, and if my personal schedule allows it, I wouldn't mind doing 3 hours a day because I think I can handle it at this point. And because I enjoy it. I like talking about these issues, even though sometimes they piss me off. Things that happen just get me angry. I like talking. I got a big mouth. I'm a friggin' windbag, okay? And I think that's an important qualification for being a radio show host. And I think, you know, some people ask, how can you do a radio show? I can't imagine doing that. Well, first of all, you got to want to talk. And you have to not have a fear of speaking in public. And it's weird with me because in small groups, even among friends, I am extremely uncomfortable. I mentioned this to my good friend, Dr. Laura Block, and she said, well, Joe, why do you think so many people drink on these occasions? To make themselves more comfortable. But I always feel very uncomfortable in those type of social situations. But get me in front of an audience, and I'm just fine. at some of the conventions I've been. I've stood up in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people and just cracked jokes and talked away. No sense of self-consciousness at all. I just do it. It feels comfortable. I feel happier that way. Maybe it's because I have more control. And, you know, really, getting back on to where I was talking about before. By the way, the number to call in if you want to call in and talk to me is 1-877-443-2366. And, of course, you can always go to the Head On Radio chat room. But continuing on the theme that I was talking about in the last segment, just about, you know, quitting your job and doing what needs to be done, blah, blah, blah. One of the things I wanted to point out was that the reason why people play the lottery, the reason why people want to get a lot of money and all that stuff is because they want control over their lives. And a lot of people don't have any control over their lives. They have very little, and they have to rely on other people. Now, me being a liberal, I believe in the social infrastructure. I believe in the social contract, understanding that when we all work together, instead of working against each other, that we all prosper. I believe in competition. Okay, and I do believe in capitalism, but I believe in regulated capitalism. Liberalism is sometimes called democratic capitalism. And the problem with modern capitalism the way it is, and it's not really what, I don't think it's what Adam Smith had in mind, because Adam Smith talked about the open hand. What we have is more like a closed fist that oppresses people, that keeps people down, that intentionally pays people less than what they deserve so that they can be much more easily manipulated. And the problem is, unfortunately, because we're busy fighting for these scraps, and that's basically what we're doing, that we fight amongst each other and we hurt our own cause. But even so, I believe in a social infrastructure, and I believe that if we all work together, we can get more control of our lives because we have other people who've got our backs. I know a lot of you say out there, you know, well, why are you telling me to quit my job? You know, I can't afford to quit my job. And that's probably true. You probably can't afford to quit your job. I certainly couldn't have afforded to have lost my job. I didn't quit it when I was working for Siemens Tucker. I got laid off because they were moving the plant to Mexico. Did I have any real control over that? Not really. Even though it was a union plant, the union people didn't have a whole lot of control over that. And partly because the government is not working to help union people. But I see people who look at it and say, oh, I got to win the lottery. I got to get a better paying job. What they're looking is for more control over their lives so that they have less fear about whether or not they're going to be able to pay their bills or whether or not they're going to have to work until they're 80, 90 years old. And if they can't work, how they're going to be taken care of. You know, the reason we started Social Security is because there were elderly people who were out in the streets who could no longer work. They had no retirement. And a lot of them grew up in an era where there was no such thing as pensions. And especially when you're talking about the Gilded Age, where you had kids, you know, 5-6-year-olds working already. They had no chance at a better life because they had to work to support themselves. My father and my mother had to leave high school in order to help support their families. And that was true of a lot of people back in the 20s and 30s. And, you know, that was so long ago, and we have little or no practical experience with that. Of course, we're starting to. But the problem is that sometimes people don't want just control over their lives. They want control over other people's lives. Because that's where they get off. That's where they get their feelings of sexual gratification, because they lack real feelings of sexual gratification. That's how they get off, by controlling other people. They enjoy it. They love it. It makes them feel like they're big shots. And they love turning working people against each other. I mentioned yesterday how sometimes if you're at a workplace, you don't have enough materials to do the job that you need to do. Like for example, in my work, and it's not necessarily true in my work because they do pretty much have a good chance of that. You need a stapler, you need a staple remover, and you need, you know, something to help you, you know, turn pages and stuff like that. I use a little what they call sticky finger. But if there's not enough of that stuff, you got to go scrounging around for it. And when you have to beg, borrow, and steal from one of your fellow workers, you know, if you have to go over and borrow a stapler, you know, that's an annoyance to them, and they don't like it. And it's management's job, as I see it, and I don't think it's such an unreasonable desire. It's management's job to make sure that there's enough of that stuff so that people don't have to go begging and borrowing. And I think in some workplaces, they really like you to do that sort of thing because it shows who's going to be the most aggressive and who's going to be the easiest to manipulate. Because someone who's willing to take something away from another worker just so they can do their job is someone that they can say, hey, do this, and they're going to do it without questioning. And I ran into so many supervisors, especially when you work in the manufacturing industry. When I was at Siemens, it was like that, where the supervisors and the managers aren't necessarily skilled in the jobs that they're doing, but they're skilled in how to manipulate and control people. I remember the TV show Roseanne, the very early series, where she was working in the factory. And she had a boss who was just, you know, raising the quota and what they were supposed to produce all the time and not really concerned with how it was affecting everybody's lives. And he made a bargain with Roseanne that if she checked her attitude, that he would lower the quotas down, which she reluctantly agreed to help out her friends and her sister and the other people that worked there. And then the guy turns around and raises the quotas back again, and she's furious. And he said, well, you know, I broke you, and, you know, so I don't have any worries now because you were the toughest and I broke you. And she wound up quitting, and half the floor wound up quitting. And I love the line that she gave when she was late. I guess we won't need our quota now, honey buns. And that guy was played by Fred Thompson, the later senator from Tennessee, who for the Republican Party was working to make the lives of people like that, that boss guy, easier. Hey, it's quarter after the hour. Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. Go to the head-on chat room. Talk to the people there. We got a puffy yummy yummy break coming up. We'll be back in a few. Cup of Joe Radio on the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. bookmark cfv.org for free loan open caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Okay, Bob, thanks a lot, and I'm back here on the show. It's approximately quarter after noon here in the Windy City. That's quarter after one in the East Coast, which is where I used to be. Central time zone is just still weird to me. I'm still having a little trouble getting used to it. But you know, that's what you do. You live where you live. You know what I'm saying? You live what you live. Actually, what's really weird is the fact that all the TV shows and stuff that normally come on at 8 o'clock come on at 7 at Central. I mean, if you live on the West Coast, the 8 o'clock shows still come on at 8 o'clock. It may be 11 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast, but the shows still come on at 8 o'clock, right? But here in the Central, everything is like an hour earlier. Like, the only show I watch regularly is really The Simpsons. And The Simpsons, I'm used to coming on at 8 o'clock, and now they come on at 7. So, you know, it's just what you have to get used to. When I lived in Atlanta, Birmingham was like a two-hour drive west off I-20, 2 or 3 hours. And we used to joke, I mentioned this yesterday, that you have to set your, and it's of course where the time zone is. So when you drive from Atlanta to Birmingham, you have to set your clocks back an hour and your mindset's back a century, right? Like the ad said, it's an 18th century thing you wouldn't understand. Oh, my goodness, that was such a funny thing. And what the heck was I talking about? You know, let me just continue on with what I was saying about, you know, how people just work for a living, and sometimes it just doesn't seem worth it. And I brought this up before. In the 1960s, my dad made like $6.50 an hour, and on that one salary, he could support a family of five. And the reason he could support a family of five on that salary was that the prices for everything were much lower back then. And we're talking 40 years ago, okay? It seems like a lot, but it's really not that far back when you look at history. And I believe we paid something along the lines of $80 a month for rent. I'm not saying it was a luxurious apartment. It wasn't. It was solid. We were relatively cool in summer. We didn't have air conditioning. But if you put a fan on one end, because it was one of those Brooklyn-type tenements, where there were actually six apartments, three floors, six apartments, and we were up on the third floor. And we didn't have a washer-dryer, but we had a washer, I believe. Yeah, we had a washer, but we didn't have a dryer. And what we would do, like in the old shots of New York, man, my mother used to hang the clothes out, because the New York City block, it's like a circle of buildings, and you have like the yards and stuff in the middle, you know, and the streets on the outside, right? So you had like a square like that. And you had a line that ran across the middle there, and my mother used to just hang the clothes up and, you know, send them over the line there to dry them. And we didn't live luxuriously, but we lived well. You know? We did okay. We never missed a meal, and we were always full. And it was because the prices were a lot lower. Who's making $6.50 an hour that can support themselves now? Nobody. Unless you're living in your mom's basement. It just can't be done. And I hate to point it out again, but the sad thing is that we're better off than most people still. We're certainly better off than the poor people out in Mississippi. Yeah, I know. I can't shut up. Let's just go to the phones. Alice from California. Come on in. Pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
I think you are all doing much good there. You are helping to make people aware of what we are up against with this government.
Well, we're doing the best we can, you know. I mean, we have the resources. Thank God for the Internet, you know.
No, it's not easy. Well, Inside Job. Have you ever read that?
What book?
Inside Job.
No, I haven't read that. I'm familiar with it. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Book. I really think it's the best. Yet.
Well, who wrote it?
Wars taking away our democracy.
Well, who wrote it?
I have seen much, but nothing like what it is now.
Well, we were talking to Starge earlier, and he talked about the police state down there, and I was thinking about that myself, that in all these kind of, you know, right-wing regimes, it always starts out with something. That we had our Reichstag, which was 9/11. We had our Enabling Act, which is the bill that Bush just signed. And I'm waiting for Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht is the next step. And I'm waiting to see if that happens. What do you do for a living there, Alice?
Well, of course, I'm a retired nurse.
Okay.
And I am really retired now. But
so you live on a fixed income?
Yes. Older people.
Right. And you always constantly have to worry about inflation. Now, you know, when other people talk about inflation, what they really mean is they don't like to inflate working people's salaries. But there's certainly been inflation as far as your rent and bills are concerned, right?
I'm trying to be a good Democrat.
Well, you are. You're very good. And, wow, you're
They try to tear us down, but we're going to come out fighting.
Well, you know, you sound like you remember the days when things were better. You know, my dad is like 85 years old, and he talks about how things were in the 30s.
Yeah, well, and I went through the Depression, and that wasn't bad. You know, we all kind of helped each other. Your friends meant an awful lot, and so did your neighbors.
And your family, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yes. We used to get together and play gin rummy, and instead of having a cake, we would have cinnamon toast and tea. That was the best we could come up with. But it tasted good to us.
But it was better because you were, you know, with people and you were just, you know, together, and there was a real sense of community, and I think we've kind of lost that.
Yeah, and we listened to our president speak every night. The fireside chat were very important to us. And the fellows were working in the 3Cs, CCC camp. Not make much money.
Oh, the Civilian Conservation Corps. My dad was in that. He was up in Montana helping out with that. That was a wonderful program.
Yes, it was.
And, in fact, it still exists, doesn't it? Don't they still? Isn't it still around to a certain extent?
I don't know whether our younger generation could handle it. Depression. I really wonder sometimes.
Well, I think, you know, my dad always says that in some cases this is worse than the Depression, because even if you could find a job during the Depression, and granted they were hard to find, but if you had one, you could generally get by. But these days, even if you're working for a living, you still can't make it, and that's where the problem lies, I see it.
Yeah, I got out of high school when I was 17, and I wanted to be a nurse, but I didn't have the money to go, and when I turned 18, I had a little trust fund, and when I went to get it, the attorney had taken the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Then I was back to zero again. But later on, my mother had called a friend up in Washington and told him how disappointed I was that I wasn't able to go in. And by chance, he happened to be cutting the hair of the superintendent of nurses at Port Angeles. And she said, oh, for heaven's sake, have her come up here. We need nurses. So, and it cost $50. It was $35 for our books. And 15 for our uniforms. And it was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. That's great. And you got to do what you love for a living, right?
So it was quite a
And how long were you a nurse before you retired?
So happy.
How long were you a nurse before you retired?
3 years.
How many?
3 years. 3 years was how long it took to be a nurse.
Okay, but how long did you work as a nurse before you retired?
In the nursing?
Yes.
Oh, well, I quit over here at the county convalescent. And when I was 62.
So you were a nurse for like 40 years?
Yes.
Almost 40 years.
But then, you know, when you're in a neighborhood and they know that you're a nurse, they all come with their problems to you. And you do the best you can to help.
Well, that's just wonderful. You know, and I'm glad that, you know, thanks to the New Deal and thanks to President Roosevelt that you got a chance to live out your dream. And that's just wonderful. And I wish more people, young people, could understand that these days.
Well, you have to go through the experience in order to to understand it.
And maybe that's what needs...
Grateful. It seems like every time I'm in a tight spot, something helps me. Someone comes up and saves the day. I was I worked at for the Army during World War II, and I ran the civilian dispensary there in Washington, and I saw the boys go to the South Pacific and to Europe, and that was an experience.
I'm sure it was. Alice, I would love to talk more to you, but we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, and we got to pay the bills here. But, Alice, I love you. You're a wonderful, wonderful person, and I wish we had more like you.
Okay.
And I wish people really understood what you have to go through in order to get the things that we take for granted now.
Yeah. Well, I hope we can get through this election. That's a big worry now.
I hope so, too. Alice, we got to go.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Thank
Take care.
You.
Thank you again for calling, okay? We love you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour here. That's a wonderful phone call. The wonderful lady, you know, lived in a good Democratic era. And we're coming up on the 12:30 break. And again, the number if you want to call in, just like Alice did. The number is 877-443-2366. And this is Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Radio Show for the Head On Network. We'll be back in a few.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show here. Once again, my name is Joe Vecchio. I am the voice of the working man's thinking man. And that was such a wonderful phone call that we just had with Alice. And Alice lived through the Depression, so she understands exactly what we're going through now. And I think it's really kind of a shame that we lack that kind of sense of community that people had back then. And part of the problem with that, I think, is television and things that kept people from going out and socializing together. Because, you know, back in the, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s and stuff, if you wanted to go see some entertainment, you had to leave your house to do it. That is, if you wanted to see professional entertainment. Because God only knows there was plenty of amateur entertainment going on in individual family homes at all times, right? But if you wanted to go to watch a movie star or something like that, you had to go out to the movies. You had to go to a play, or if you wanted to go out, obviously to eat, you go out to eat, you know. And there wasn't the convenience of, you know, bringing stuff to your home and stuff like that. You know, if you can actually live in your room. If I got the right kind of job, I could live right in this room and never have to leave this room for the rest of my life. It's possible. It's conceivable with the technology that we have. But even recluse as I am, and I do kind of get reclusive, especially since now that I'm alone and, you know, going someplace is not the same when I don't have my wife with me. I could very easily just do that, just stay here in this room, because, you know, I do this radio show from my room. I'm hopeful that I'm going to get a job where I can work online and therefore work at home. And I can just, if I'm making enough money, I can just have food delivered to me every single day. I could even find places that will deliver groceries to me. I haven't looked for a while. There used to be organizations like that, but they went out of business because they were stupid in the way they ran things. But it's possible. It's possible to do that. But you know what? Even as reclusive as I am, I would not want to do that all the time. I feel the need to get out and to be with people. That's why, even though my regular job doesn't pay me anywhere near as much as I'd like, I just need sometimes just a reason to get the hell out of the house. And sometimes I'll just get stir crazy and just go. You know what I sometimes like to do when I have a day off? Sometimes I like to get, I used to do it in Atlanta. I haven't really done it as much here, and I really should because it's better for that here. Just go out, get on a bus or get on a train, and see where the heck it goes. Because that's the one great thing. Even though it takes slower to do that, you can always get back to where you need to go. As long as you don't go, like in the middle of the night or something like that. But you can take a bus, you can take a train, and just go out and see things and do things. It's been a busy week for me because, I've been doing the show and my regular job has been fairly steady. And, I get home and I'm tired and I don't really have, a whole lot of energy to do things. And plus I've been doing some stuff for my second job, some writing and stuff. So I've been a little busy this week. But there have been weeks when I didn't really have a whole heck of a lot to do. And I could just stay home and surf the internet all day, and I just don't want to do it. I'll go out. One day I went out and just went to the Lincoln Park Zoo, which is a wonderful zoo. It's free. I never heard of a free zoo before, at least along those lines. But Alice understands what we're going through because she lived through it. She lived through it back in the 20s and 30s. She lived through the Depression. And I kind of agree with my dad. I think nowadays, in a lot of respects, things are far worse. And I think because we don't socialize that much, that we don't have that same sense of community that we have. The internets are the biggest community that we have along those lines. And that's the wonderful thing about human beings, is that human beings will build communities, regardless of what kind of communities they are. They will build areas where people are just being together and talking. You can make fun of people who go into chat rooms all the time. And yeah, it's true. You get a lot of, just teenage, punks online, acting like teenage punks do, regardless of what era you're talking about. But you can have some very long-lasting friendships. My good friend, The Thane. I mean, how did I know him except for just being online at the Bart Cup chat room, right? But he said, Joe, I've got a place for you to stay. You can come out here and you can stay with me. And that's the value of a community. My beautiful wife, my lovely, wonderful wife, she used to get on a website called Pogo.com, which is a very nice little website. You play games there. And it's free. You can go on there and just play for free. And you can even actually win prizes. There's not a huge chance of it, but you can. And one of the things that I love is that when they have the online games, they also have a little chat room alongside of it, so you can talk to people while you're playing. And my wife developed some wonderful relationships with some of the people on that website. And when she passed away, I got on with the account under her name and I let everybody know what had happened. And I got so many emails and letters of condolences and people calling me up with tears in their eyes because they loved Kathy's company so much online. And that's what humans do. We build communities. Unless, of course, you're Republican humans. Republicans love to destroy communities. Republicans want the type of community where you have one person who controls everybody else's lives and everybody else works for them to make them richer. I see rich people all the time, and this is one of the big problems, I think, with the housing industry, is that a lot of people will go out and they'll buy a house. They won't buy a house to live there. To say, this is where I'm going to live, this is where I'm going to raise my family. They're going to buy a house and say, all right, in 5 years, it's going to be worth, 50% more than what I paid for it, and we're going to sell it and move somewhere else. And that's the sort of thing that destroys neighborhoods and destroys communities. And I remember growing up on my block in Brooklyn, especially in the summers, on every stoop front, every door front, we called it a stoop. Maybe people in other places of the country have other words for it, but just the front steps of the apartment, all the tenants of the apartment would get out, they'd have lawn chairs, and they'd sit right there on the street, and they'd just talk about whatever. They'd talk about politics, music, anything, stuff going on in their lives. And sometimes they didn't really say a lot. They just sat there because they were just in each other's company. Go to any suburban place right now. Go to any cul-de-sac or any street. See if you see anybody sitting around doing that. Everybody's locked in their homes watching TV or doing whatever. Nobody has the type of contact. I mean, yes, some people do, but you don't really have the type of contact you usually have. And, all these libertarian types who talk about, we have to have the freedom, blah, 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 and all this in the community. And the bigger the government is, the worse. Obviously, these people have never had to experience some of these little community governments, the ones that measure your lawn. to make sure you're cutting your grass. You know, where was I reading about that? It was an article by James Walcott of who writes stuff. He's a great writer. He really is. And he had an article in Vanity Fair called Red State Babylon. And he talked about Dennis Rader, who lived in Wichita, Kansas. He was a Boy Scout leader and a serial killer. He was known as the BTK killer, for blind, torture, and kill, because that's what he would do to people. And he placed himself inside their society, this cloistered society, and fit in just perfectly, and nobody had any clue that he was doing these sort of things. And this is, of course, in Kansas. You know, the red state people like to talk about, you know, them being more moral than anybody else. I guarantee you, not only are they not more moral than the blue state people, they are far less moral. Because the type of things that go on behind closed doors at these places are far worse than the type of things that go on in the big cities, out in the open. Remember when Susan Smith drowned her kids in the lake back in the 90s? And Newt Gingrich, that scumbag Republican who got kicked out for not being a big enough scumbag, said that the fact that she had drowned her kids was just proof of the degeneracy that's being caused by liberal policies. When, of course, she was the daughter of a guy who was very powerful within Republican Party interests and the church, and was abused herself as a child. We got 15 minutes left. It's your last chance to call if you want to call in, but I'm not going to give the number out. You wouldn't get much time in, I'd say that. But we got to pay some bills. We got to take a little break. We're almost over. God, again, the show's just gone quickly. I'm Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. This is the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
You know what I think I'll do is I think I'll just take the last 10 minutes here and we'll talk to our good friend Dave from California. Hey, Dave, how you doing today? You on the line there, Dave? There you
yes,
go.
Yes, it is now. I didn't click in, I guess, originally. You know, and I think...
How you doing?
Really great. Yourself?
I'm here.
No. I'm getting better, huh? But I think you may have another person also holding. I call because it sounded like you wanted to have somebody to talk to in the last few minutes, and you may have two of us.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. You're cool.
All right. Well, I do feel in a general observation that the inmates have clearly taken over the asylum. The prisoners are running the prison. It's bad guys have stolen our government. That's my general feeling right now.
Well, the question is, what do we do about it? I mean, you know, it was so nice, you know, Diane yesterday talking about don't waste your vote. But is voting enough? I mean, is that going to do it? That's what I see.
Well, you know, you were saying it right out there, and I think it has to be said. You know, you're telling people it is time. If they have stolen these elections, if they have designed machines that are stealing our democracy and cheating us, then it is time for us to find some way to sabotage what they're doing. You know, it's totally justified to do that. They are stealing the democracy of a great country. So what can we do, you know? I would say...
I believe in playing by the rules, okay? But when the rules are obviously not working, it's time to go around them. That's the way I feel.
It's almost a necessity, an obligation. Do we stand by and let criminals just impose their will on this country and steal everything that they can? You know, history will judge us so harshly. The next generations, they will say, how did you let this happen? You used to have a democracy. How did you let this happen to us?
And, you know, we ask the same question to the Germans and the Japanese. How did you let this occur? And again, you watch the documentaries on TV, and I point it out again and again, and it makes it sound like it happened, you know, 5 minutes this happened, next 5 minutes that happened, next 5 minutes that happened, when it took years. And well, like I said earlier, we had our Reichstag, and that was 9/11. We've just had our Enabling Acts, which is the torture bill that Bush just signed, and the law that allows him, if he so desires, to lock anybody he determines to be an enemy of the state in prison, without a trial, without anything. And when's Kristallnacht coming? That's what I want to know.
Well, to me, I know it often sounds strange. It's an awfully big leap to make, you know, to believe that these goons that have stolen our government are as bad as they are. But my dear neighbor and friend who spoke with you just a little while ago, Alice, she's been studying for the last, damn near a year now, the book, The Inside Job. You had asked her, she doesn't hear real well, who the author of that was. It's Jim Mars, M-A-R-R-S. And all evidence says the White House itself needed their new Pearl Harbor. They wanted to be able to invade the Middle East. Then they needed something that would get the people to rally behind their efforts. And all of those buildings came down because of planned explosions. And
Well, I'm not sure if I believe that part of it. What's important to me is what they did afterwards. That's more important than the specific details of were their airplanes remote controlled or did they have explosives in the World Trade Center. To me, that's all kind of issues to the side to be investigated later. What's important to me is what they did afterwards.
Well,
that's the way I see it.
All around it. I mean, how in the world would a Bin Laden keep our Air Force on the ground for an hour and 50 minutes? And these interceptor pilots are trained, and particularly when they have warnings, and there was pocketfuls of warnings, and Condoleezza had 50-some warnings, spelling it all out, that it was about to happen. They should have had Air Force in the air when that happened.
Instead, well, they did for Payne Stewart's plane. Remember that?
Well, any plane that the transponder goes out or that takes a bad turn, bang, within a matter of a minute or two, you've got a fighter jet coming at that plane at twice the speed of a rifle bullet. And they get there in a big hurry. So, and there's air bases all around Washington, D.C. Andrews has several intercepted jets there. They sent a lot of them away. Anyway, I don't know what's got me off on this particular subject, but it does say how really dreadful, how psychopathic, what kind of brain would be get behind that kind of thing and have that
the
happen.
Same kind of brain that's willing to go out there to another country and kill tens of thousands of innocent people just for their own financial and political advantage.
The same kind
and
of brain.
And if they're willing... Go ahead.
The same kind of brain there down with Sergeant Ray of Ben, Katrina area, that would say, this area is way too blue, withhold all the aid, and let's see if we can change the stats and numbers. And I honestly think that they did that. They sent away a hospital ship. They sent away freshwater trucks. They turned around all kinds of assistance doing a hell of a good job here, Brownie. No.
Well, it's because, as far as they're concerned, these people are not human. You and I are not human to them. Therefore, that's how they can have no conscience about doing anything, because as far as they're concerned, we're not their equals, so that, you know, they can do whatever they want with us.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Most people,
we're both trying to be so polite here.
Yeah, well, most people, I think, see that as just gross incompetence.
That's a combination of it, too. I mean, and you would think that people would say, you know, even whether these guys are evil or not, that they really don't have any knowledge about how to run a government, so maybe we should stop voting them in. But, of course, then again, their votes might be stolen anyway.
Well, see, they had a giant hospital ship in the bay. The captain of it was a lady. She was radiating owing to FEMA. I have 47, I think, fully equipped lifeboats that can be sent out with medical personnel, fresh water, and whatnot. This ship can make 50,000 gallons of fresh water from salt water every day. And so she said, where do you want us to begin? And they said, stand by. She called back again. They said, turn your ship around and depart the area. So.
Wow. And it just doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, when you reach the conclusion, or when you get the idea, like I have, that they believe that, you know, guys like us aren't even human, that just explains psychologically everything that's going on. And whether or not they were actually involved in 9/11, which I don't think they were, or allowed it to happen for their own political gain, which I think is the real story there, everything just kind of falls into place. And you just see that they're perfectly willing to sacrifice thousands of lives just so that they can have a little bit more.
Well, you read Alice's book there, Inside Job, and tell me if you can find a way to put away all that evidence. You know, you do say after it, what they did is impounded all proof, all evidence, or destroyed it, shipped it away. You know, why would
right.
they do
well,
something like that?
Well, that's just par for the course with these guys. You know, I mean, they blocked the presidential records from getting out because of this George Bush was worried that people would find out about his father's dealings in Iran-Contra.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, Dave, I got to make one last point before I leave, and then we got to cut out. But I want to thank you for your call, and I'm sorry we didn't have more time to talk. So, are you there still? There he goes. No, I guess he's not. I guess he's gone. I'm sorry. We must have lost you there. At any rate, you know, yeah, Dave is right. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm really just more focused on getting these guys out. And I want to make a point that I was listening to that last, you know, the last thing about Bob Kincaid about, you know, the Bush thing about giving his peace. And I was remembering, and I'm going to read this verbatim. This is from Lord of the Rings when King Theoden was talking to Saruman. And Saruman was trying to convince him that, you know, he had been wronged. And that, you know, then maybe we will have peace, Saruman said. And this is what Theoden responded. And he said, "Yes, we will have peace. We will have peace when you and all your works have perished, and the works of your Dark Lord to whom you would deliver us. You are a liar, Saruman, and a corrupter of men's hearts. You hold out your hand to me, and I perceive only a finger of the claw of Mordor, cruel and cold. Even if your war on me was just, as it was not, for were you 10 times as wise, you would have no right to rule me and mine for your own profit. Even so, what would you say of your torches in the Westfold, and the children that lie dead there? And they hewed Hama's body before the gates of the Hornburg, after he was dead. When you hang from a gibbet at your window for the sport of your own crows, I will have peace with you and Orthanc. So much for the house of Eorl. A lesser son of greater sires am I, but I do not need to lick your fingers. Turn elsewhere, for I fear your voice has lost its charm." And I'm wondering if Mr. Bush is feeling the same type of deal. Has his voice lost his charm? And that's the way I feel about the Republicans. When you're rotting in a prison cell, when you no longer have the power to affect our lives, to kill people, just so you can make more money, Mr. Bush, your administration, financial leaders, when that's the case, then I'll have peace with you. But until that day comes, I will not speak with you. I will not attempt to have a rational discourse with you, because you're not capable of it. And on those terms, on those words, let me break off. Mark Levine, The Inside Scoop, is coming up here on the Head On Radio Network. I want to thank Agnes and Bob Kincaid. And I want to thank everybody else here in the Head On Network, and of course Ben Birch with the White Rose Society. Everybody's all working together here. Until next week, until Monday, this is Joe Vecchio with the Cup of Joe Radio Show saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
A cup of Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, or in a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do.
This is the Quality News Network. Firefighters continue to battle an arson-caused wildfire near Palm Springs. The blaze started yesterday and has already doubled in size to nearly 24,000 acres and killed 4 firefighters. A 5th firefighter remains in extremely critical condition. 10 homes have been destroyed, hundreds more are threatened, and nearly 1,000 residents have been evacuated. California Governor Schwarzenegger has declared Riverside County a disaster area, and a $100,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the arsonist responsible. U.S. forces in Iraq are stepping up their search for a missing GI who it is believed was kidnapped Monday while visiting relatives in the city. Today, American troops are searching through Baghdad's Sadr City, a stronghold of the Shiite militia group known as the Mehdi Army. In Mosul, 12 bodies have been discovered in the past 24 hours, including those of 4 police officers. And just north of Baghdad, another 28 police officers have died yesterday in battles with Sunni insurgents. But today, with curfews in place to keep vehicles off the streets, there's been relative calm throughout the capital city. One of the Marines charged in connection with the death of an Iraqi man in Hamdaniyah in April has pleaded guilty at his court-martial to charges of assault and conspiracy to obstruct justice. He's agreed to testify against 5 other Marines who are charged with murder in that case. In Afghanistan, the Taliban is now accusing NATO forces of genocide following NATO bombing raids, which reportedly killed dozens of civilians, mostly women and children, in the Kandahar province earlier this week. Today, another 14 civilians died as a result of a roadside bomb. Another member of the South Korean National Security Team, responsible for Seoul's relations with North Korea, has resigned. The third person to do so, all three, had been under fire for doing too little to dissuade Pyongyang from proceeding with its nuclear weapons testing. Iran has reportedly resumed its nuclear program and doubled its capacity to enrich uranium, despite threats of U.N. sanctions. French authorities have beefed up security in